My sermon tonight actually also started from singing a song. When I was a kid, we used to have CDs that we would play in the car while we were driving around as songs. Last year in December, I was listening to some music, and it reminded me of some of these songs I used to sing when I was a kid. And one of them was a song about David. And it was, "Little David, play on your harp, hallelujah, hallelujah. Little David, play on your harp, hallelujah." And there was this line in the song that says, "David was a shepherd boy who killed Goliath and shouted for joy." And I love the song because I grew up singing this song and other songs like this. But I was like, that's not right. David was not a boy, right? He was a man. And just like I say in Sunday school, we always need to back up when we make a statement, when we have something, we have to back it up with the Bible. So that night when I got home, I actually opened up my Bible and I found a single verse that can support this. And not only that, but as I was looking at this verse and meditating upon this verse, I was like, wow, look at how much wealth there is in this single verse. So the title of my message tonight is David, A Good Name. Or we could say an example of a good name. Because many times as we're reading through the scriptures, we see characters that we can look up to and say, this is an example of someone I want to be like. I want to pursue God like this person. I want to be a reflection of Christ like this person was. Many times in the Old Testament, we see people and they're foreshadowing Christ as a king, as a priest, as a prophet, as a healer, as different things, right? And David is a good example of this, and he is an example of a good name. And the reason why I titled it this is because David is actually not even in the conversation. He's not part of the conversation. He's the topic of conversation in this verse, but he's not even there. This verse, if you want to read it, it's 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. "Then one of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him.'" Amen. So this is our verse that we're going to start off with. The context that we have here is that David was a shepherd, and he was out in the fields taking care of his father's sheep. And he had been anointed by Samuel to be the future king, but that hadn't happened yet. He's still out in the fields being a shepherd. And at the beginning of chapter 16, it says that the spirit of the Lord left Saul and went to David. And then a distressing spirit came and afflicted or disturbed Saul. And so everyone was trying to figure out, what can we do for our king so that he can be better? And this was the idea. They were like, oh, let's look for someone who can play music well so we can bring him before the king so he can play when this distressing spirit is upon him. And this is what one of his servants says. He says, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite." He doesn't even name him, actually, right? He's just one of the sons, right? That guy has so many sons, we don't even know what this one won, right? It was one of them, right? So this is people talking about David. And this is his reputation, and this is his name that he is known by when he's a shepherd, before he has gone to be a conqueror and a fighter and a warrior and all these different things, before he's gone to do all the things that God has promised he will fulfill in his life. This is already the reputation that he has. If you can please go to the next slide. Basically, we're just going to break this verse bit by bit. So he has the introduction, the son of the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing. This is the first characteristic that this man brings up. And it's the most important in the moment, because this is the one thing that actually brought him before the king. He could have been a mighty man of war. He could have been all those other things. But if he didn't play on the harp, he would have never gone forth into the presence of the king for this reason. And it's funny because so many times in church we're like, oh, we have to be good spiritual people and do all these things. And we kind of neglect the things of the world. And I find so many times, for example, Nehemiah, right? He is the cupbearer of the king. We look at Joseph. He's the prime minister of Egypt. We see all these people who are prospering in the place that God has put them. but they're faithful, statornici, they're faithful within the work that they're doing. He's notable in his work. It wasn't an amazing thing. It was just, oh yeah, he plays on the harp. He's a skillful player. People knew that when he did something, he did it well. So his reputation was that he did his work, that he did it right. And there's, as I go through this, I have backup verses from throughout the scriptures supporting this. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says this, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." And it's almost like Solomon was looking back at his own father and saying, you know what, David, he excelled in playing on the harp. And it brought him before kings. And it's an encouragement in whatever we do, in school, in work, in our relationships, whatever we do, to do it with all of our might. Because these are the things that the people of the world see. Sometimes before we even open our mouths and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, it stands out the way how we live our lives, the way how we do our work. I didn't put it on here, but there's another verse in Colossians, right? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, right? We have to be faithful in our work as we're doing it, and it stands out. So this is the first thing. The next thing that we see, the next characteristic. He was a mighty man of valor. So this was where my sermon originally started off, because I wanted to say David was not a boy who was out shepherding, but he was a mighty man of valor. And then the next part of it, it goes together. He's a man of war, right? So these, by definition, the people, when they would go to war, the Jews, they had to be at least 20 years of age or older. So we know, just from these, the description, a mighty man of war, a man of valor, that he was at least 20 years old, right? So this is like a parenthesis. Sorry, I went on to that. But in this statement, he is a mighty man of valor. This person was recommending David because of his character. He's saying, this is a man that we can depend upon. Psalm 15, verse 4, David later writes, and he says this. He says, he's talking about someone who can go before the Lord, who's upright, who's righteous. And he says that someone to be like this has to be a man who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who says, I'm going to do what's right, even if it costs me, even if it hurts me. I'm going to be dependable. I'm going to be steadfast. And then this other verse, which I kind of already alluded to in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, where Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And I love this duality between, yes, he's faithful in his work, but he's also faithful in his character. People knew that if they asked David to do something, that he would get it done, that he was accountable, that when he spoke something and he said something, his words had true value, that he was dependable in his character. If you go to the next one, so a mighty man of war, and then, a man of valor, and then a man of war. And the reason, the characteristic that you get from this is the maturity of David. Even though he was a man who was out shepherding his flocks, right? Like he said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, right? But it wasn't so much that these people were saying, oh yeah, he's a man of war. But they were saying, this man is a man who's mature in his mind. He's not a child. He doesn't go and shepherd and just daydream while he's out shepherding, but he's actually paying attention to what's going on around him. He's being aware in his mindset. He came with the mind prepared. And this is the idea of maturity that David demonstrates here. And then I got some verses from the New Testament, from 1 and 2 Timothy. I think they're very appropriate as they're speaking to a young person who's leading a flock as a pastor. When Paul says this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is telling Timothy, and through Timothy telling us, that we have to be mature. We have to have this mindset that we are going to war, that we're at war against the world, against the mentality of the world. We have to be aware of what we're doing, how we're acting, and that it be for the truth so that we can divide the word of truth so we can say this is right, this is wrong. And then continuing onward, the next thought is this discernment of sound doctrine. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Again, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but we can each take this into our lives, that we have to discern sound doctrine, like how David was saying this morning, how Brother David was saying this morning, that we have to take the scriptures and search them and compare it and see and look at what we're being taught, what we're being told. So sfirmam, to sift out the word and to search it. Paul commends the Bereans because they searched the scriptures daily to find whether the things were so, the things that he was saying, whether it was truth or not. And in the same way, we have to have a mature mind when we're going forward, not to be blindly open to anything and everything because God is love and God wants us to love. But Jesus said to his disciples, go out, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. We have to have maturity when we go out into the world. So this is demonstrated by this aspect. If you go to the next one, a man of war and prudent in speech. And I put up there inward transformation, because being prudent in speech is an outward reflection of an inward transformation. When someone spends time with God, it changes how they speak. I don't know if you guys have ever caught this. When Peter is denying Christ, the first time he says, oh no, it wasn't me. The second time, they're like, oh no, you were definitely one of his disciples. He says, oh no, it wasn't me. The third time, when he denies Christ, they say, no, for sure, you were with Christ because your speech betrays you. Did you hear that? Because your speech betrays you. And then what is his response? He begins to curse and swear. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. I was totally not one of those people with Christ. And he changes his words. So his words became different when he was kondolepedat, when he betrayed Christ, right? And it's so interesting because it literally says your speech betrays you. And he switches from speaking nicely and saying, no, it wasn't me, to cursing and swearing. There was something in his heart that was still foul, that was still sinful. Like James says in James chapter 3, that the tongue is an unruly evil. And it has to be a perfect person who never says anything wrong with their mouth, with their tongue. And the fact that this person is recommending David, he's saying, this man is prudent in his speech. This man's speech is so good. When you listen to it, it's excellent. Psalm 25, David says this, whom is the man who fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. That is, if someone fears God, God will teach that person. And not only that, but in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. David knew this. When he spent time with God, God spoke to him. God revealed himself to him. And his speech, being prudent, was an outward reflection of stuff that was going on in his heart, that he was having communion with God, that he was talking to the Lord and the Lord was speaking to him. Colossians 4, verse 6, I love this verse. Let your speech always be with grace. Let it be seasoned with salt that you may know how to answer each one. When we speak to one another, but much more as we go out into the world and as we speak, our grace should be seasoned with salt, with grace, so that when we speak, that it would be an evidence of our relationship with Christ. And then the verse from 1 Timothy again. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them. As we spend time with God, as we devote ourselves to these things, the end of verse, your progress will be evident to all. It's something that shows up without you thinking about it. When somebody cuts you off in the road, the first thing that comes to your mouth, right? It shows your true character. When you're tired or hungry or you're stressed, the first thing that comes to your mouth is true evidence of what's going on in your heart. So this man, David, was prudent in speech. It showed outwardly what was going on in this man's heart. And then if you can go to the next one. And a handsome person. And this one, I sat there for a second and I was like, oh, I can make like a really funny joke about this or something. And I was like, no. Even in this, there's something that's amazing. This person who was talking about David, he said, this is a handsome person. There's a verse, Ecclesiastes, look at this. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. It's something, again, that happens inside of us, that shows on the outside of us. If you go back to the last slide, it was saying to let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt, right? And in a similar way, grace is what we need to impart to people who are sinning. We need to give them love, we need to give them grace, but we also need to give them the truth. But if you give the truth to them by itself, it will hurt them. So we have to give it to them with grace. And how do we know how to do that? We need wisdom to know how to do that. And that way, the sternness of a man's face is changed. I love that. I think it's so cool. And then, just another example, as Acts 6:15, this is talking about Stephen before he was martyred. All who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel. God can actually do amazing things like that. That's like a miracle and stuff. But just another example of how this is so applicable. A handsome person. So I thought that was really neat. I sat there and I thought about it a while before I came to like an actual good thing rather than just making a joke and passing it by. And I was very happy about that. And then the last thing, I love this. The last slide. The last true slide. Semicolon. And the Lord is with him. This person, the servant of the king, who's unnamed, but knows David. He has all these great things to say about David. And then he has a semicolon before he says this. He says, basically everything that I've said is the proof in the pudding. But if you didn't hear anything else that I said up till now, listen to this. The Lord is with him. This is the summary of everything else that I've already said. The Lord is with him. And then I said, see also these other verses. Genesis 21, where it says, the Lord was with Abraham. Genesis 26, the Lord was with Isaac. Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39, the second verse, the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. 1 Samuel 18, the Lord was with David when he went out and when he came in. 2 Kings 18, verse 7, the Lord was with Hezekiah going in and coming out. And then I put dot, 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 because I got tired of looking up through the Bible all these different times. So if you go to the next slide, this is the summary slide. David was faithful in his work. He was steadfast in his character. He was mature in discerning right from wrong. He was tasteful in speech. He was handsome outwardly because he was reflecting the image of God. And then kind of to summarize everything, there's a verse, Psalm 78, verse 72. He shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. Not the sheep. This is the children of Israel. He shepherded the children of Israel according to the integrity of his heart. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So, if you go to the last slide, it's the conclusion. Whenever I speak from up here, I want all my words to be seasoned with salt, to be graceful. Salt is a preservative. Our words in this world are supposed to be preservative. We're supposed to keep the world from going worse and worse into evil, and instead we're supposed to improve it. So every time I come up here, I want my words to be seasoned with salt in the sense that I want everybody to be able to take something from it, to be encouraged and be built up. Hebrews 10:24, David actually read it this morning. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I hope as we look at the characters of David, that it encourages us to be faithful in our work, to be mature, to be discerning, to be steadfast, to be faithful, that we would show outwardly what's going on in our hearts, that we would truly spend time with God and we would reflect on the outside, and then that we too would have a good name. And so that's why I wanted to title this, David, an example of a good name. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. May God help each one of us to be faithful, to be pleasing unto him, and to have a good name so that the people around us would be able to honor and glorify God when they speak of us. Amen.